How do you do? Have you ever missed a meal, maybe more than one? What if you missed every meal for days while sleeping on the ground? Now, we're not describing a homeless man. We're describing the home and life of a man whose story we're about to tell. And that kind of hardship would destroy some people. But he endured because his heart and mind and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, the history-making radio drama of true life stories that light the way for others, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. In 1877, Pacific Garden Mission opened its doors to street people in Chicago, and those doors have never closed. The oldest continuously operating rescue mission in the country has seen one miracle after another, as lives have been transformed from darkness to the light of the world. The motto at the old lighthouse is, never give up on them, even though many homeless people have given up on themselves. Freely giving food, clothing and shelter, medical and dental care, even classes and counseling to those in need. At the mission, we know that these things alone will not alter lives. Change comes only from the one who said, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. This story demonstrates the truth of that promise. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 2513 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Our grandson is much worse, Papa. I am afraid he will die unless they take him to a doctor.
Who can afford the doctor?
But his fever is so high.
The doctors take all your money, and sometimes you die anyway. They have never helped me.
When will the rains never end?
When daylight comes, I'll make a bigger ditch in the ground.
Life is so hard. Every day I ask the gods to help us, but help does not come. What did we do to deserve such a life?
I don't know. Perhaps the next one will be better.
The man in our story was born in southern India into a poor Hindu family with 10 children. They were low caste, with no education, no job skills, and more often than not, no food to eat. In 1960, when he was 13 years old, he had no future, and yet today he is helping thousands of his countrymen. This is the amazing true story of Tatagiri Gurappa, right now on Unshackled.
From the time my brother's son died, I wondered how I could become a doctor and help people. I was the only one in my family who went to school, but even I had to quit after the sixth standard because there was no money to send me. We never wore shoes and seldom had shirts, and during the winter months, we suffered in the cold. My father delivered goods, but sometimes there was no work, and we would eat only once a day or once in 2 days. In 1960, a terrible famine swept our part of India.
I looked, but most of the fields are stripped. Even the spinach leaves are gone.
I cooked some tamarind seeds.
I hope and pray our sons have some grain.
Here comes Tatagiri now.
They have nothing, Daddy. No grain and no money.
What are we going to do? We will starve.
There's no work here. But they're building a road through the jungle. Why don't you and Tatagiri go and find work there?
That's 100 miles away. What about the children?
I'll take care of them.
Daddy, there's tigers in the jungle and cobras.
Don't worry, my son. You'll be with the other workers.
Mother and I went by train, then walked another 15 miles into the dense jungle. There we set up camp with other workers beside a stream. We worked hard during the day, cutting trees. At night it was cold, so we slept by the fire, where we shivered as much from fear of the wild animals as from the damp air. 2 weeks we labored, and then the work stopped.
That was a tiger, Mummy.
The The fire will keep him away. Don't worry.
I'm so cold.
They have some alcohol, son. You can drink some if you want to get warm.
Drink alcohol? No, Mummy. I cannot do that.
Then sit very near to the fire and sleep.
Well, what's going to happen? I mean, 2 days now without work and no food either.
Tomorrow you go home and bring something from your father.
I don't have money to travel.
You're a small boy. You can get on the train without a ticket.
Fearfully, I walked through the jungle and slipped aboard the train with some beggars. But at the next station, the ticket collector caught me and handed me over to the station master.
Take off your shirt and give it to me. Then you stand out here until the train is gone. Come on, my boy. You see those banana bunches just unloaded from the train? You carry all those to my office. Then I will give your shirt back and send you home by the first train tomorrow.
I had not eaten for 3 days, and I cried and shivered all night, praying to a god I didn't know. The next day, the station master let me board a slow train carrying rocks. Along the way, it stopped, and I observed a beautiful young girl, clean and well-dressed, while I was dirty and poor. As I watched her, I determined in my heart not to go back to the jungle to work, but instead to go back to school.
Tatagiri! What are you doing here?
I have been traveling for 3 days, Daddy, and I'm so hungry. Oh. Is there anything to eat?
No. Perhaps your grandmother has something.
There is no work, no food where we are in the jungle. Mother sent me to see if you have anything.
We have nothing for ourselves, even.
Daddy, I don't want to go back to the jungle. I want to go back to school.
How can we do that when we can't even eat? I love you, but I can't send you to school.
I don't want to live like this anymore, Daddy. When you are poor, people abuse you. I have to get education.
What can I do, son? Nothing.
What should I do about Mommy?
I'll borrow enough money for you to go back and get her.
After I brought my mother home, and my grandmother, who was a midwife, scraped together enough money to pay the school fees. I'd been out of school for 3 years, but learning was easy because I wanted to succeed so badly. While I had the highest rank in the class for 5 years, mine was the lowest status because I did not even have shoes to wear. My heart ached because my family was hungry all the time.
Tatagiri, why are you eating?
I'm hungry, Daddy.
But that food has not been offered to the gods yet.
I'm sorry, Daddy. You offer your food. I'll eat mine.
Oh, such a boy. How do you expect to be blessed?
But I'm doing very well in school. I am the only one selected for the public board exam out of 200 students.
Oh, I'm very proud of you, Tatagiri.
I want to go to university, Daddy. I want to be a doctor.
You have such big dreams.
Somebody has to help the poor, and no one does. When classes were over for the summer, I went to stay with my older sister, 350 miles away. She had married a Christian and become one herself. I helped my brother-in-law work in the fields, digging trenches and cutting bamboo.
I'm glad you're doing so well in school, Tatagiri. God has blessed you.
I go to a Christian mission school, you know.
Yes, I know.
Did you know I was in charge of the bad students? I had to keep discipline in class.
God is making you a leader.
You talk about God a lot.
He is Lord, and I want to serve him all of my life.
Well, I want to be a doctor and help your people who cannot afford good medical care.
That's good, Tatagiri. But however your progress is in school, you should believe in Jesus. He gives you real joy and eternal life.
He was an evangelist. I noticed how he worked hard in the fields, then went home and took a bath and changed into his clothes for preaching. I noticed how he and my sister prayed every day and went to church, how they visited sick people and helped others, even though they had so little themselves. Oh, the curry smells good.
Are you hungry after working in the field all day?
I've been hungry all my life.
We'll eat as soon as Shikamane is ready.
Is he preaching tonight?
Yes. We are going to another village. Why don't you come with us?
I like to listen. But I marvel that you spent so much of your time this way.
Little brother, we are saved and we believe in Jesus Christ. Nothing is more important than sharing his love with others.
I looked at how they lived and saw that I wasn't able to be a Christian. I was bad while they lived holy lives. I returned home to my studies at the end of summer vacation. A few months later, we had holidays, and I asked my father if I could return to my sister's home.
We don't have any money to send you there, Tadagiri.
I heard about some trucks loaded with bamboo going there. I could ride with them.
Oh, then go.
Are you in pain again, Daddy?
Oh, yes. It is my fate.
Someday I'll be a doctor, and I will help you.
How can you pay for more education?
I'm in the top of my class, Daddy. If I do well on the public board exam, I'll get into the best university and maybe get a scholarship.
Even if you succeed, the high caste people will not let you touch them.
They have their doctors. I will help the poor.
It seems impossible, Tadagiri.
I'll find a way, Daddy. Right now, I'm going to my sister's.
Tadagiri was actually going to a crisis point in his life that would change everything. And he'll tell us about that shortly. Now you can listen to Unshackled whenever you want. That's right. These dramatizations are available online at www.unshackled.org. If you have a computer and access to the Internet, you can visit the Old Lighthouse electronically, explore the various ministries we support, and learn more about the making of Unshackled. Browse through the list of online stories. Click on one and listen to the complete dramatization just as it was broadcast on radio. What a great way to hear these dramatic testimonies at your convenience. And there's so much more to explore on your virtual visit, so allow plenty of time. For example, you can order Unshackled tapes, CDs, books, and other resources online, and even make a donation to the ministry. Scroll through the directory of radio stations and find the one nearest you that broadcasts these stories. Visit our website often. The address, www.unshackled.org. For more information, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
Once again, I went to a worship service with my sister and her husband. We sat on the ground outside and I listened as they sang a beautiful song. I looked at my own life and knew I didn't belong there. If only I could leave, but I was trapped in a group of people. The pastor's preaching disturbed me even more.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you understand that salvation is a free gift? God gave his Son. Jesus gave his life. He gave his life willingly because his sacrifice was the way to pay for your sins. The only way. You see, the penalty for sin is death, separation from God. And God wants you to be saved. He wants you to be his child. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There is only one way to have God's forgiveness for your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 promises that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why are you crying? Why are you crying?
I want to become a child of God, but I am so bad.
You are right. You have confessed that you are a sinner.
Yes, I am a sinner.
You want to believe in Jesus?
Yes, I want to believe in Jesus.
My friend, you are now a child of God. You elders, come, come, pray for him.
The Lord judged me, and I returned home a new person, no longer hungry, except for God. My parents worried about me because all I wanted to do was share the gospel. Even so, when I took my exams, I was 4th out of 400 students and easily gained admission to the best college for my pre-medical course. A Christian friend helped finance my boarding expense, and for the first time in my life, I ate plentiful food. When the money was gone, I starved. Then I learned about persecution.
Well, Tata Giri, I saw your name on the board outside the dining hall. You cannot eat there anymore.
My God shall supply all my needs.
Too bad he doesn't supply you with clean clothes and shoes while he's at it.
His ways are not our ways, and I trust him to hear and answer my prayers.
You Christians, why should you cry and pray to God? Pay your dues. Go home and bring money. Or send a telegram to your father to send you some money.
My earthly father does not have money.
What do you live on?
I am living by faith. God sends money through his children.
Then you shouldn't be here. You belong in the laboring class. Where are you trying to go where you do not belong?
Five days I went without food, praying to God and going to class. Because of worker unrest, the electricity went out, and as I repaired all the kerosene lanterns so we could see, the head of the boarding house began to respect me. He took pity on me, let me eat and pay later. Then came the best news of all. Thank you, God, for your mercy and grace. You are faithful, Lord, and I praise you.
Are you still praying to your God, Tata Giri? Don't you ever learn?
The Lord has opened a door for me to get my food.
It wasn't your God who opened the door. It was the mercy of the chief warden.
But that isn't all. The Lord brought me out of my financial troubles. I've been given a scholarship for all my boarding and lodging expenses, plus extra money.
That's not your Lord. It's the government that rescued you.
You just don't know the Lord. In 1967, when I entered medical school, I borrowed a wet jacket and a pair of shoes. The first time I had ever put shoes on my hard and calloused feet. After the owner's mother came and took away the shoes, my Christian friends gave me money to buy new ones. I finished 2 years in medical school, then had to quit for lack of funds. I went to work doing all kinds of jobs to support myself. Do you have any work I can do in exchange for some food?
Come inside. There's still some rice left.
Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus, my Lord.
You are a Christian.
Yes. 5 years ago, God saved me. My name is Tata Giri Gorappa.
I am Daniel. I was a pastor for many years. Now I run this orphanage. Sit there on the floor and I will get the rice.
I have been praying so much to God, and he always hears my prayers, even though many of my friends make fun of me.
Oh, why should they do that?
Because I want to be a doctor, and they are jealous. For 2 years, I went to medical college, but I had no money, even to pay for food, so I had to leave. Now they laugh at me because it has been almost 3 years since I discontinued school.
I say, here is the rice. Please, eat.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You can stay here if you like. Perhaps I can help you.
How?
I have many friends in India and in America. I will write and ask them to put your needs before the Christians there. God will do the rest.
I'm so happy that God led me here. I have promised him that if I become a doctor, I will take care of people wherever he sends me. I will go to the jungle or the countryside, not to the big cities. I want to help the poor people because my own family is low caste. I don't need big salary. I want to serve the living God.
That's all he wants, Tata Giri, a willing heart. He will answer your prayers.
Thanks to God and my friend Daniel, a couple in Virginia sent me $25, a fortune. I bought new clothes, paid my fees, and went back to medical college in 1972. From then on, two sponsors in the U.S. sent me enough money to continue my studies. Because God blessed me financially, I was able to help other poor Christian medical school students.
Tata Giri, you are very kind to help students like me.
I know how it feels to be hungry. Huh? Many times in my life I had to go without food. Even now when I eat, I think of my family and all the other poor who go hungry.
My family is also living in poverty.
Are they Hindu like mine?
Yes. I went to a mission school. That's where I gave my life to Christ.
It isn't easy to follow him, but I would go no other way.
I heard you speak in the chapel this week. You inspired me very much.
I have promised God that when I graduate, I will help the poor, the untouchables.
I've heard about the orphanage you started and your ministry to the lepers, Tatagiri. I'd like to go with you sometime.
We were married in 1976, while both of us were still medical students, and three daughters were born to us before we graduated in 1981. My internship was among the lepers, tuberculosis and psychiatric wards, and at a government hospital, men's ward. My wife's internship was similar, but in the women's wards. Then we served the poor people for 5 years in the countryside, and we ourselves nearly starved to death.
There's nothing for the children to eat at the Gary. They're so hungry.
I know. I can't bear to hear them cry in the night. But no one can pay us, even 1 rupee, and we have nothing left to sell.
Take my golden talus to the market and sell it.
Oh, Chinnamama, we cannot. We already sold your necklace. No man ever sells his wife's talus.
The talus cannot become an idol. It means nothing compared to our children.
Everyone tells me to take a job at the government hospital and pay our debts. But how can I do that? I promised God I would never do that.
Go and sell the talus. Here, take it.
We won't get what it's worth. They always cheat us.
I don't care. Do it. God will bless you.
This is very fine gold. Does it belong to you?
It belongs to my wife.
Why are you selling it? Has she died?
No. We need the money.
I must have your address in case there is a problem.
It is not stolen. It belongs to us, but I will give you my address.
Well, you're not accustomed. A man who would sell his wife's talus is cursed
by God. But my God has blessed me beyond anything I will ever deserve. Now, what will you give me for the talus? The persecution was endless. More than once I was threatened and beaten by those I owed money to. Our children suffered terribly, but still we served the poor who could not pay and rejoiced to help those who would otherwise have died. My wife never complained, but after 5 years we took a series of jobs at hospitals in northern India. Always the problems were the same.
What is it, Tatagiri?
It's unbelievable, Chinnamama. A father just carried his daughter to me. She has burns on a third of her body, so I wrote up the admission order and sent him to the office. They refused to admit him because he has no money to deposit.
No, dear Lord.
He came back to me crying for his daughter. She's in so much pain.
How could they be so heartless?
I tried to persuade the staff, but they shouted at me. This is not a charity.
Oh, what can we do?
Please, go home and bring back some money to deposit. We cannot let the girl suffer.
The smiles on their faces when they left hospital. It was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yes, it's a wonderful thing to help someone.
I don't understand how the staff can turn away someone like that. Someone who is in so much pain.
They're putting more faith in money than in God.
Sometimes I cannot stand it, Tatagiri, to see all those people, the poorest of the poor, selling what little they have and being turned away.
Somehow we must open our own clinic.
It won't be easy. If the poor cannot pay, who will buy the medicine? Who will give us the money to buy food and pay the schooling for our children?
God will find a way. I am sure of it.
One good thing about working in these hospitals, we have learned a lot.
And God will use this knowledge when we open our own clinic. Now we know more about all kinds of emergencies, all kinds of anesthetics.
All kinds of difficult people.
And the Lord is so good. During the years we worked at different hospitals, we lived in air-conditioned bungalows and paid all our debts. When we were posted to remote areas, our children lived with my wife's parents who had become Christians. But we knew the Lord wanted us to help the very poor. And in 1992, we again ministered in a countryside hospital in South India. Through financial help from our friends in the U.S., we began building our own hospital on land the Lord provided. We built a small home, 30 feet by 60 feet, where we could treat our patients until the hospital was finished.
Doctor Geary, look outside. Look what the winds have done.
Bamboo.
Yes.
There's hundreds of them lying on the ground. Thank you, Lord.
We've been praying so much for bamboo to finish the work, and there it is.
We don't need government permission to cut it down now. Huh? God did it all at once.
God is truly amazing how he answers our prayers.
Every time there's a setback, it turns it to good.
Yes, when the landlord forced us to move because of all the poor patients coming, there, God help us build this house.
And it withstood the wind and the rain, too.
It's really true, isn't it? The just shall live by faith.
By faith, we'll finish the hospital and have the medicines we need. We only have the roof to finish. Maybe next year we'll be operating there.
60 by 30 feet. It seemed so big when we started, but people keep coming, and now it seems so small.
A little is a lot when you have the Lord.
Someone has come to the back door. There goes our lunch.
That's why we're here, Chanamaba. God must have sent them.
Today we treat from 30 to 80 patients in our small clinic. We still have many needs and much opposition from non-believers, but God is faithful. I have traveled to Thailand to teach medicine, surgery, infectious diseases, and obstetrics to the Barefoot Doctors program. But nothing is more important than salvation. If you have everything in the world, you have nothing without Christ. All else will come to dust.
Hearing a testimony like Dr. Gurappa's is both an encouragement and a challenge to believe God and put our faith in Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 reveals how great is God's love for us. For He hath made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Christ died and was raised again so that we could have eternal life in Him. Have you invited Him into your heart and life? If you need help in this crucial decision, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. Our website address is www.unshackled.org. Be a friend and tell others about this program, and let the manager of this station know that you're glad he brings you this broadcast. We'd like to hear from you, too. Now would be a great time to write and say, thanks for Unshackled. This is program number 2513. Heard in the true story of Dr. Tatagiri Gurappa were Doug Mellor, Larry Moran, Melinda Bremner, Roger Mueller, and Howard Friedland. Original music, Don Badorf, sound, Nick Aloisio, engineer, Ed Webb, script, Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We'd like to know if these true testimonies affect your life, so please write today. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. When no one else is there for you, we are. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462.